I feel like some people use gamer in quite like a derogatory way, right? It's like, oh, you sit in the dark and you're unhygienic and all of that. I wouldn't want to fall into that camp of gamer. I'm not talking about James.
I don't think anyone said that.
Hello and welcome to the Press Start podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, and I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
And Brody.
Hello. Welcome back, Ewan.
Thank you. I missed you guys an awful lot. I missed the podcast.
That's nice.
I did have a bit of fun listening in to the three of you, though, James included, who's obviously not with us today. You guys, sounds like you guys had a bit of fun.
We did.
Hosting without me.
It was a blur.
The usual antics continued. before we get into the show today, I'm curious, given I've been away for the last month off gallivanting overseas, what do you think I missed? What was the biggest video game piece of news in the last month?
Jeepers.
I can tell you what I think it was.
New SpongeBob game? Was that before you left? I don't even remember. Maybe it was before you left.
There's a new SpongeBob game?
Yeah.
What's it called? I missed this.
I don't know. SpongeBob, a game.
SpongeBob.
I feel like there's a new SpongeBob game
Titans
every
of the Tide,
3 weeks.
Is that it?
Yeah, Titans.
Oh, this
like,
must have been
the
right,
Hoff is like in it or something, isn't
off.
He? Like
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah,
I mean, he was in the movie, wasn't he?
Okay,
he was.
I feel like
you're
was
gonna. Oh, I know what you're gonna say. I think I know what you're gonna say.
All right, but let's hear your prediction.
You're gonna say Legends coming to Ghost of Yote.
No, although I was very excited to hear that. Coming as free DLC next year, right? I'm very excited about that. I was away during Gamescom. Like, I missed all of that. The biggest piece of video game news in my mind, actually, was Gorilla's skins coming to Fortnite. As a big Gorilla's fan, I was kind of blown away to see that they were still, like, enough in the zeitgeist to warrant or merit that.
I don't think it matters with Fortnite. It just it brings it back to
point.
The zeitgeist. Are they celebrating something at the moment? Like, is it an anniversary of something or a new album? Or
I'm glad you asked. A new album looks likely. They are doing... It's their 25th year, I think, of kind of like their anniversary. And they've done an exhibition in London, which I went to whilst I was there, that kind of teases new music. And they're doing, I think, maybe tonight as a recording... they're doing like a mystery show in London, which supposedly is like new music, but they've the past three nights performed a new album. Well, not a new album, but an album, a different album each night for the past three nights. It's Gorilla's season.
I did see that Beavis and Butthead also got added, which after their COD edition, they're just surging back apparently.
Yeah. Everyone thought it was about King in the Hill coming back, but look out, Beavis and Butthead are coming.
It's
big
the
time.
King
exactly.
coming back instead. It has meant that I fired up Fortnite again recently, trying to just like farm XP to get the, all of the Gorillas stuff.
How many Gorillas are there?
Three?
There's four. You can purchase two, and then there's like a music kind of battle pass themed thing in which if you buy that, you automatically unlock a third, and then you need to complete that battle pass in order to unlock Murdoch.
The one touchstone I've got for the Gorillas was one of their songs was in the demo for FIFA 2001 that I had on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, that's peak.
And I heard
like,
it a lot.
First album territory. That's awesome. Yeah. We should probably stop talking about music and talk about video games instead. Today, we've got another hot topic to react to. I know we've been enjoying that one. I've been eager to weigh in on some of the topics we've been discussing in previous weeks. But I've stored up all the energy for today instead. We also have 007 First Light, the state of play from this morning to react to. Brody, you've got your review of Chronos the New Dawn, and maybe a couple of other things if time permits as well. But as of recording, Hollow Knight Silksong is upon us. By the time you're listening to this, it's probably out and playable, which is not a sentence I would have thought I would have said when I went on leave about a month ago. Brody, is this? Are you going to stay up until midnight tonight and install this the second it goes live?
It's a school night, Ewan, and I won't be doing that. But Look, I'm eager. I'm not one that's played the first game in its entirety. I've probably put a couple of hours in, and it just didn't grab me. But look, I'm happy for all the Hollow Knight sickos out there who are, you know, fanging
for this. People are like, they will die to play it. Like, if they're happy for it to be their last game, or you don't gel with it, there really is no in between with this game, I've noticed, is there? It's like someone's entire personality, or it's nothing to them.
There's no one that's like lukewarm on Hollow Knight.
Like, that's a 7.5 or an 8.
I like you, Brody. I tried like playing a bit of the first one, and it just didn't gel with me. And I feel like I've tried starting it like 2 or 3 times. But in saying that, watching the gameplay for this one, I'm like, this looks a lot like Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. And that was obviously my game of the year last year. So I don't know if I just never got to the point in the previous Hollow Knight where like mobility and traversal, like all the platforming kind of really factored into it in the same way. Yeah. Or if the trailers just didn't make much of a feature of it. I don't know. But for whatever reason, Hollow Knight Silksong, maybe it is all the hype, but I'm just buying into that. Has me real excited.
It looks good.
Obviously, I love seeing Aussie developers succeed. And I think they revealed recently, right, that the first game sold something like 12, 15 million units.
Which is crazy.
Which is just incredible.
Which has bought them the time to take their time with this and obviously just do what they want, which is good. And the fact that they've been able to put it out at a still very reasonable price point when they could have probably tried to gouge those people who are like really looking forward to it, I think is commendable to keep it modest.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's only going to be 30 Australian, which is, very, very reasonable. I love how, if you recall, I was talking to you guys about like wanting to sit down with Team Cherry and like unpack like the journey they went on in developing this game. Jason Schreier beat me to that, which is no surprise, really. I read his interview with them. And it seemed like remarkably Australian in that, like, we just like were enjoying it, and we just kind of took our time with it, and like didn't put too much pressure on ourselves, and kept thinking of cool new things to put in the game, and it just kind of kept creeping up in scope, and they could had the luxury, I guess, of being able to take their time with it. But yeah, it was rather uneventful by the sounds of things. The development, I'm sure that's simplifying things somewhat, but there was drama in the process at all.
imagine it's a train wreck.
I'm sure it's not.
People have played it, the demo, and they've said it's quite good. But, so.
Yeah.
It was playable in the lot of them. Demo. In the US recently, I think. And was it playable at Gamescom as well?
Yeah.
Did we have anyone at Gamescom? I'm really out of the loop.
We had no presence this year. You were the closest there, and you couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. Exactly.
I feel like I should have tied that up better. Maybe I'd have got some assistance with flights or something like that, but alas. All right, hot topic time. Let's get into that. One stood out to me from Joshua Lay, who wrote in and said, I think you shouldn't be allowed to call yourself a gamer if you don't play a wide variety of games, because people who only play multiplayer shooters give us a very bad name. Brody, initial thoughts?
I don't know. I think that's a weird take. It's very, gatekeepy, isn't it? I don't know. Like, I feel like there are professional gamers who make a living playing literally one game, like whether it's a shooter or whether it's Rocket League or...
That's true.
Or sports games. Like, I don't know that you need to... Like, am I not, you know, a person who reads books if I only read romance novels? I don't know. Is that a weird analogy? Maybe it is.
Would you want to be called a gamer if you played like one game? Like, would you like, what if some, like, do people even want to be termed
who wants
that?
To, I, and like this might be controversial, but who wants to be known, hey, I'm the gamer? Like, you know, I don't want to identify as that.
I wear
as
a badge of pride. Like, I'm a proud out-and-out gamer.
That's not going to surprise anyone, though.
No. Kind of, it is what it is, I feel.
I feel like... I know this is, like, the unpopular gaming opinion. So they're already kind of, like, aware that it might attract some heat. But I kind of, like, don't entirely disagree with this statement. Like, I feel like people that only play one type of game... multiplayer. It depends. If you played a variety of multiplayer shooters, I'd argue you are a gamer. If it's just Call of Duty or like you just play FIFA, I would say it's kind of up to you as to whether or not you identify as a gamer or not.
Surely there's some like tiers or modularity to this, though. Like, you can be a casual gamer.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Why? Yeah.
Well, you're not necessarily the term, hardcore. That's true.
The definition of gamer is just someone who plays games. Like, that's that.
Well, if you just play game, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if maybe someone plays 500 hours
of their dating life, I don't know.
Of COD a year. Like, are they not a gamer? I get what the person's saying. Like, if you just play, like, FIFA, you're probably not a gamer.
I don't know if
that person is going around saying,
definition.
I am a gamer. Like, I feel like they just say, I play FIFA.
If you don't play any games, you probably look at someone that plays 1,000 hours of Call of Duty a year and go, well, you're a gamer. But then you playing that Call of Duty might think, well, I don't really play much else than that. Like, I'm not really a gamer.
I kind of get what this guy's saying. Like, I feel like I play a healthy amount of games, and then I like look at James for argument's sake, and you know he's on his 50th playthrough of Resident Evil 4, and I'm like, where's this guy find the time? I'm not even half the gamer he is, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know if this guy Joshua Lay,
he
wants to take pride in the fact that he's a well-rounded gamer and he enjoys a lot of genres, then that's great. I think that's great. But I don't think that necessarily means he's more of a gamer than someone who plays COD for 500 hours in a month or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I might say different. Like, I'm certainly not a casual gamer. Like, I play a wide variety of games, right? As I'm required to for this. But, yeah, like, I wouldn't say I'm nearly as much of a gamer as someone like James that beats every game he lays hands on, and I don't spend nearly as much time playing games as he does, for instance.
James is like the ultimate gamer, though. Like, that's like to the extreme.
We're unfairly
well, he's not here, which is a rare occasion to yap back, so let's go in. No.
Maybe we just define it based on your EB World level.
Exactly.
No, I'm only level 4, right?
You have to pay for EB World Plus, is what EB Games would want to call yourself a gamer. I get both points. Like, yeah, I don't know. But people who don't play games are going to PAX and
you self-identify
stuff.
To an extent. Yeah. True.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like if it's the type of thing you're wanting to go yelling and putting into the world, then you're deserving of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, like, I'm logging all the games I played to ggapp.io, so I think that probably qualifies me as a gamer. But am I the... I don't know. I feel like some people use gamer in quite, like, a derogatory way, right? It's like, oh, you sit in the dark and you're unhygienic and all of that. I wouldn't want to fall into that camp of gamer. I'm not talking about James.
I don't think anyone said that. I think Ewan made that link.
No,
I was more just thinking about the subsect of people that Ewan was just excluding himself from.
I'm talking about the type that, like, goes
the basement
to
PAX
and sneezes on the controller that you're, like, waiting
like
to play
the Division.
It sounds
like you were really just pulling from your James memory then and then did yourself dirty.
Cheeto dust everywhere.
You guys are making faces.
No. I think either way, it's another one that's tricky. It's not really wrong or right, I guess.
I think I'm going to disagree with Josh in that, because the opening sentence is, I think you shouldn't be allowed to call yourself a gamer. I disagree with that. I think if someone only plays multiplayer shooters and they consider themselves a gamer, they're a gamer. We'll end at that before we say ourselves into any more trouble.
You did an about face on that. You changed your mind halfway through then.
No, I think I was pretty consistent.
I feel like you were on your side for most of that, attention. And then you're like at the end, nah.
Yeah, maybe I just paid more attention to their exact words. Anyhow, let's crack on, because Brody, I want to hear about a game that you've been playing. You reviewed Chronos The New Dawn. What did you score the game, and why?
I scored it, and that's a great question. What did I score it? I believe it's an 8.5. It's an 8.5 out of 10.
It is an 8.5.
I was pleased to see that score.
Just had to double check. Yeah, look, I really enjoyed it. I've seen that the scores are a little bit all over the place. Like, Jez Corden, I think, gave it a perfect score. And then I've seen some people giving it, like, sixes and sevens and stuff like that, which, look, I sort of understand. But I think on the whole, Whether people have issues with this because they're comparing it too much to maybe Dead Space, which I think this definitely takes clear inspiration from. I think this game does enough of its own to, I guess, stand out on its own. But at the same time, in terms of some of the combat decisions and the design choices, I can definitely see fault with that. And that's ultimately why I dinged it a few points. The setting... it is really awesome. Like, it's such a weird, trippy sci-fi setting that it really spoke to me. Like, I think if there's one thing that Bloober have always done really well, it's their settings, and especially the ones like Observer, I suppose, which are so distinctly Polish. Like, they've kept with that here, and like, they've obviously made that very much a part of the identity of the game. Aside from the fact that they got like purely American voice actors, which kind of gave me a bit of a disconnect. Where I'm like, why wouldn't they just commit full ass to this? But yeah, on the whole, like, I think I said in the opening sentence, like, Dead Space ran so this game could walk. Like, so it's kind of the flip of the general saying that you'd say. Like, Dead Space is still very much like the tippy top of this type of survival horror game for me, but I think this game does enough well that I can definitely see the value in it. Like, I find it a very exciting new horror IP that I hope that they continue to visit. But the setting's great. The combat, that's, like I said, where I had a few issues. Like, I think on the whole, like, it's solid, and it's clearly, I think, Bloober's best game of their original games, that because I feel like the others have always been so...
Excluding Silent Hill?
Said in the outro for this, I said excluding that because I feel like it's kind of cheat codes, because they're like remaking one of the best games ever made. So from their original output, like, I think this is clearly the best because it's the only one that has some kind of tangible gameplay loop that is actually satisfying and engaging. Observer was, you know, basically a walking simulator. The medium didn't really have any meaningful combat and stuff like that. So, yeah, from an engagement perspective, I feel like this one certainly does the most. I think the don't let them merge concept for like the combat and stuff like that, I think that is like a really cool concept that I feel like it does last and has a bit of juice throughout, but there are points where I feel like they could have done things a little better. Like, they limit you so much with ammunition and even the means to burn bodies, to the point where, like, I kind of... there was one point where I was banging my head against a wall. Like, I got up to play this game at like 3 a.m. because I had the time, and I just literally sat there for an hour, like, running into this one room, getting absolutely fucking owned. Because what I'll say is, this game is pretty hard. Like, if you're in these combat situations, like, the game can be pretty brutal. And dying and learning is part of the point. Like, I said, like, I kind of understand how some Souls-like fans feel now. Like, because you spend so much time beating your head against the wall, when you break through, you actually do feel that satisfaction. But
are the checkpoints reasonably forgiving in that regard? Or
Not really. Like, they're they're pretty inconsistent. Like, sometimes before a big fight, like, you'll get a decent checkpoint, but other times you'll be, you know, back quite a way. So I found myself, like, often actually, like, cheesing, like, the save system, because, like, there are, like, central save rooms where you can, like, run in, restock your flamethrower, which you use to burn bodies, and then go back. And so, like, because the core premise of this is that the bad guys can absorb the bodies of other, you know, killed, infected and stuff, and then become stronger. I found myself literally running back and forth, restocking, going back to burn bodies on the floor, running back just to, like, clear the battlefield before I actually started the fight. So, like, I was, like, save scumming like a son of a bitch. But at the end of the day, that was my choice because I was inferior at the game. But all in all, like, I think the combat is solid. Like, the guns are really hefty and meaty. The melee is a bit... it's just there to create space for you, basically. It's not really viable in terms of killing enemies and stuff like that. It is really stingy from a resources perspective, so it does make you strategize about how you sort of go about things a lot. Like, I would die constantly. Sometimes I would just run out of ammo and I'd be like, well, I literally can't do anything now. This enemy's chasing me. What can I do? So I would die and then think, how can I be a bit more economical with this stuff? A lot of the battlefields have, like, exploding canisters that you can use your, like, timey-wimey powers to, like regenerate every so often. They'd be on a timer. And so some of the boss battles, you kind of got into a loop of just literally running a circuit and, like, luring it to this barrel so that you could keep blowing it up, and that's how you'd save ammo. But at the end of the day, it felt cheap and a little uninteresting by, say, the third or fourth boss battle that had the same, same, I guess, methods. So, yeah, look, I'm not painting a great picture here, but it is a bit cheesy in that sense. So, but there's definitely a lot of moments where I was like, I felt the fear and I felt the tension because, like, it does create that tension quite well. Like, there was literally a moment where I think before the third or fourth boss fight, I'm walking down this long corridor, and then the door at the end, I thought I was about to go through, like, locks, and then, like, all the lights shut out, and I turn and look back down the hallway, and there's just black, and I was like, oh, I've got to walk back down there now. And then I was like, fuck this. And, yeah, so, like, has good moments like that. Yeah, I mean, all in all,
like, in terms of the storytelling, like, were you kind of more interested in the story they had to tell in this game than you have previous Bluebird games?
I think more realized
based in its trailers.
Pardon me? What was the last part?
It looks kind of more realized, like a bigger sort of world.
Yeah, like I definitely think it's... Story than yeah, I thought about that. Like, a lot of their past games, like even Observer, The Medium, they're all set sort of like within these kind of confined locations, I suppose. And yeah. I think that's kind of true here. Like, it's still a very linear game. Like, you're working around areas in this city, New Dawn. Like, you'll go from, like, the steelworks to this hospital and stuff like that. So you're working through linear locations. But, yeah, story-wise, I think it's super interesting. Like, it's... obviously, the core premise is you are, like, this traveler who is effectively, like, a government agent in, like, a diving suit that's, like, detached from time and space, who's gone back to this place to try and, I guess, uncover the roots of this apocalypse that's happened, like, this outbreak that's infected everyone and destroyed the world, basically. And you sort of dive back in time at certain points to, like, pull key figures out of the timeline to try and, like, understand and fix things and stuff. It's really cool. It's, yeah, like, I won't say too much more, but I've... very much enjoyed the story. The acting is, again, kind of eh. Like, they do the Destiny thing, like, where everything has its own proper noun. Like, you're the traveler, your suit is a shell, you work for the vocation and stuff like that. It's like a very, like, yeah. It's almost like you're a religion set up dedicated to save the world, basically. And yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff they do, like, about, I guess, faith versus, like, science versus faith and stuff like that they toy with halfway through and stuff like that. And yeah, like, the way they handle some of the character work between you and this other character, the Warden, I think is pretty interesting. But yeah, I think the only things that would have, like, frustrated me from, like, a gameplay perspective is, like, because a lot of it is in these tight corridors, like, there's no quick turn or dodge mechanic, and a lot of the enemies, like, they use, like long tendril attacks or, like, ranged attacks, like acid spits and stuff like that, and you can't really get out of the way of it. So I did die a lot of cheap ways, I feel. So, like, I feel like a quick dodge could have, like, sort of helped that kind of thing. There's also no map, which I found a little confounding. Like, I never got lost, granted. Like, the way the map loops around, like, you'll work through areas and then you'll come back out and it'll all join up and it all makes sense from a design perspective. But I still feel like it might bother some people that you can't refer to a map for objectives and stuff like that.
If you're looping around, I can imagine that being a little bit disorientating.
And there's a point where, like, you get a new ability, which is effectively, like, these anti-gravity boots, which sees you, like, walking on roofs and walls and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting a bit disoriented here. I don't exactly know where I'm going. It does the thing where you can, like, click in the stick and it shows you the general area of the objective you're heading toward. And that certainly helps. But yeah, I mean, if you're trying to, like... Because the inventory is so limited, like, being able to, like, say, mark ammo you've left behind would be helpful, I feel, to be able to refer back to that and go get it if you need it. But
Resident Evil is good at that on your map, right? Like, flagging stuff you've left behind.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, little things like that just all add up to, you know, some quality of life things that I feel like this game could have done better. But on the whole, like, I think the merging mechanic is a really fun and interesting wrinkle to a genre that's, you know, done a lot of stuff and probably needs some new, fresh ideas. The story and setting is really cool, which, you know, that's all I can ask as a story guy. And the game looks really pretty. Like, it's very, very visceral. Like, the sound design is awesome. Like, I play this, like, with headphones. I think that's a must. Like, it's, like, full directional, like, awareness that you need, because, like, these enemies can come from anywhere. Yeah, and it's
no like technical performance issues whatsoever. No, I heard a couple of reports that there being some issues during.
No, look, I played on PS5, and I didn't really have any issues for that I could speak of. Okay. I think the game might have crashed once, but I'm not sure if that's maybe because I'd left the PlayStation on for a long time. But like the game does like some cool time jumpy riff stuff that I feel like really makes good use of the SSD, like sort of. Two-thirds or like three-quarters of the way through the game, it starts to get a bit weird like that. So, no, but I never had any issues. Like, I have heard of people saying that, like, the build they had at... Like, I listened to Kinda Funny today, and Roger had said that, you know, he had an early build first, and, like, there was literally, like, no sound effects and stuff during the action, and then enemies wouldn't attack him and stuff like that. But I think that he said that they'd had their build for about 3 weeks, whereas I think we only got this about a week ago. So right, I assume the build we got
it was
is
the same, same commentary I was referring to. So
keen to see the Switch 2 version as well, like how that runs. Yeah. I haven't really seen too much.
About yeah, it. I've seen a few things on Twitter or X of people saying that it actually like runs pretty well. So that's surprising. So well, not surprising. It's
expected.
Well, expected now. Yeah. Bit. Well, semi expected.
Well, last question for you then, Brody. Like, where do you think it leaves Bloober in your mind now in terms of... No, they're a studio that have been making horror games for a good while. This is maybe
like
their most
their
ambitious
thing.
Sort of new IP, I would say. Silent Hill 2, the remake, was obviously maybe equal in terms of its kind of budget and its scope, but obviously adapting existing IP, remaking a previous game. Like, have they kind of... arrived? I feel like we've been waiting for them to really kind of stick a landing.
That's probably exactly how I was going to describe it. I feel like they've arrived now. Like,
nice.
I feel like they've always delivered good work. Like, I know people are critical of like Layers of Fear and stuff like that, but I always thought they were solid for what they were. Like, and they did what
they
were doing well.
The medium. I think the medium was hard done by.
Yeah, look, I could again for what it was. I think the medium is okay, but it's not what I wanted. Like, I wanted something a bit more, engaging from a gameplay perspective. Like, granted, you had the chases and stuff like that that you had to run away from and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's just very cat and mouse,
Whereas this, it leans whole ass into action horror, and, like, it's basically the Dead Space sequel that I would never be able to get from EA now. So, like, I think it's really solid. Like, I'm excited to see what they do next, whether it's this or they pivot to something else new. But I don't know. I'd like to say Silent Hill gave them the confidence to, you know, really lean into something like this, but I have to imagine they were developed concurrently almost. But
did it feel like the bones of Silent Hill 2 were there? Like the kind of combat and animations, but it did feel similar.
I'm afraid I can't comment. I didn't play Silent Hill 2 last year. Okay. So
I might see if I can get some like gameplay side by sides. Or I just play the game. I could also just do that.
Yeah. If you like horror. If you like horror, I would definitely I think it might come out Friday, possibly, but it'll be out now if you're listening to this. But if you like horror, I'd definitely give this a go. Like, I think it's as excited as I've been for a horror IP in a long time.
Nice. Yeah, that's high praise indeed. Shannon, are you going to give it a go, do you think?
I think so. I want to. Like, I love Dead Space. I don't have too much care for Silent Hill, but yeah, I want to try it for sure.
Nice. Plenty to play this weekend. It's going to be hard to know where to jump into first. Speaking of new exciting games, well, maybe let's find out what you guys make of this game. But 007 First Light had a kind of dedicated state of play this morning as of we're recording. It's IO Interactive's James Bond game. Looks like a big sort of ambitious title from the studio that's previously brought us the Hitman games. I think we've kind of on the whole been pretty excited for this, given it's such kind of fitting adaptation. First to you, Shannon, watching the state of play, what was your impressions of the game?
Yeah, I think as a whole, it's probably what I expected in terms of like a Hitman team making a Bond game, which like Hitman games are essentially what James Bond is for the most part. But yeah, I like the more cinematic vibe of it. Obviously, the car chases are kind of pivotal to the movies and these games, like vehicles in general, like in set pieces. So I like that element of it. I don't know. I've played a bit of Hitman, but like it's just the way that the levels sort of play out and the fact that there's not a heap of story have always lost me. But like, I like the idea. I Do we know from this, like, whether it has, like, it obviously has a story, but I assume the levels are still, like, quite open in how you can approach them. So I assume it's, like, still Hitman-style gameplay, but with more of a focused story that, like, runs through, and less just about locations.
I think my assumption is that it'll be, like, it be structured in terms of levels, but I sort of feel like each level is maybe more of a chapter. Like, there's kind of multiple phases, multiple locations within a chapter.
With
like
more,
much
like,
more,
set pieces within
much more Uncharted-esque,
I would say. I think I'd heard on Kinda Funny, who I think they maybe referenced the IGN preview. I think they've said that the game will have some, like, Hitman sandboxy creativity in terms of how you can approach certain objectives. Like, so, you'll have multiple options, like, whether you go in stealthy or whether you want to go in guns blazing, like, you can get different results that way.
I like that, like, but just with a little less sandboxy overall, I think is what I'd want.
But Hitman, like, in the gameplay we saw this morning, there's the kind of scene at the mansion, like, trying to infiltrate that, like, that feels the Hitman-y part to me, right? I'm sure there's gonna be, like, multiple ways to approach a sequence like that, but, like, the car chase, the kind of airplane sequence, like, that felt far less Hitman-y to me and much more Uncharted, Tomb Raider.
All right, they could just be between the sandbox areas as well, right? Like, they could just be a little break. I think either or, like, it's fine as long as there are those moments. And I'm watching it a second time, and it's not as sort of janky as I thought it was this morning. It does look quite simple in what it is, but I'm keen for it, and it's sooner than I expected.
I did mean to watch back the VOD rather than the stream, but it looked a little,
it's still choppy
sluggish
at times, but
I feel like the frame rate didn't look high, and it did look like it was dropping in instances, which we can forgive. Like, the game's got a while still to come, but
as soon as it gets away from that mansion stuff and the stuff I feel like they're more comfortable with, I feel like that's where the cracks kind of started to show for me. Like, like that car chase,
the pacing of the car chase looked,
the car chase was just a drag, bro. Like, it was so long, and, like, they tried to, you know, I think they thought they were cooking when they, like, had him, like, veer off the path and smash through all those fruit stands, and the frame drop dropped to about 15 frames a second, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. And then I don't know, the plane stuff just kind of didn't really work for me either. Like, I can see what they're going for, and if they can, I guess, fix the performance, because I think that's really what took me out most was the performance side of things.
I thought that was cool how you kind of gained control of the plane and you could change the, like, its kind of angle, kind of mid-combat sequence. I thought that was quite cool. I'm interested to see how the kind of gadgets and gizmos of James Bond kind of continue to feature throughout the game.
Are you frame rate is back? Really dropping, isn't it, in this plane bit? Yeah. I hadn't appreciated how much it does drop.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, like, at least when this is your big reveal as well. But it seemed to me they didn't want to shy away from, like, showing you kind of unedited gameplay. Yeah. And so maybe they thought, you know, well, let's have some warts in there, because then people know, like, we're not making this overly slick.
Yeah, and they do have 6 months.
It's coming out in March 27th, which is soon, but not enough. Plenty of time to kind of patch a few things and optimize things.
Yeah,
there, right.
My favorite thing about the Bond games have always been, like, just how ridiculous they get in terms of, like, getting a jetpack or whatever. So I do hope there's that element. So, like, I don't want these cool bits to just sort of be all on rails, as much as I do like them in, like, an Uncharted game. I do hope, and I feel like we will get, it's like, I read the blog post as well, and it said, like, you get a lot more gadgets as the game goes on. So I feel like it will just get to a point where you've got an insane amount of stuff to tackle these sandbox areas with. But I'm keen for it.
I thought that sequence where, like, he gets the license to kill and, like, goes all guns blazing and blowing up all the tanks, that kind of, like, had a bit of a chain effect element to him. I thought that all looked really slick. And I love the kind of contextual combat too, like, doing the kind of sliding kick across the bonnet of the car and kind of interacting with the environment in that way. I mean, again, I'm going to reference Uncharted. I think that's kind of an obvious parallel to draw here, which I'd say is a compliment to it. It reminds me of, you know, that bar fight scene where, like, you're just kind of have all these, like, contextual animations based on where you've punched a dude and stuff like that. I think that looks awesome. If this is what they're prepared to show, granted this is maybe it's big reveal, if this is what they're prepared to show at this stage, it leaves me thinking they have a bunch of really cool kind of set pieces in the tank, like, further into the game, that I'm excited to experience. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I would say, for this game. IO, like, do pretty good stuff, so I have not a lot of reason to doubt them at this point.
Yeah, I can't see it going wrong either. I do think, like, the... Who owns Bond now? Is it Amazon?
Amazon.
Yeah.
I can't see them... Like, this is a big moment for, like, the franchise, right? Like, not a lot happens with this franchise. So for there to be a game, a AAA game, I feel like it has to be good.
It's kind of going to be the first thing of the new era, right? Like, we're not going to get a film for a wee while.
We don't even know who Bond is.
Exactly. Bond is, and even though this is totally separate, I still think it is a big moment in that.
Yeah. I thought the voice cast sounded good too. I think it's cool that they've got an Irishman playing James Bond. I'm sure that will stir up some controversy in some parts of the
world.
He's
not playing it Irish though, is he?
No. But yeah, no, I thought it was cool. What's going on, Shannon? Did the dog just...
Ollie's just broken in.
I saw the door. Like, I wish that had happened while we were talking about Kronos, because it would have been nice and scary. All right. Just wants to participate. Yep,
continue.
Well, let's see what he has to say about the PlayStation 6 Portable rumors. A YouTuber who has previously revealed accurate information about PlayStation hardware before it was announced has dropped some info about the upcoming PlayStation 6, which is presently kind of tipped to launch in 2027-ish. They reported that a portable version of the PlayStation 6 will launch alongside a more traditional version of the console, although lower spec. The portable version is thought to be equivalent in power to a base PS5. So by no means a slouch, I'll say. Shannon, firstly to you, do you kind of give much credence to this report? Do you think it's likely to be true?
Yeah, I do. I think with the Switch 2 success, all the handhelds we're seeing, and Xbox's strategy, I think we're at a point now with handheld technology that this could exist, and we could see, like, yeah, a PS6 handheld that can run these games at a lower resolution, and then also dock to a TV for those that don't care about your PS5 Pro level graphics but just want, like, FIFA or the non-gamers of the world, or the gamers, depending on how you're looking at it. And then you have, like, your $1,500 PS6 home console that's just a home console. I don't know why they wouldn't do that. With the way that all the technology is going, like, PC and handheld tech are coming together to be the same thing, right? And that's what Xbox is doing. I think it makes total sense.
This is coming off the back of a month of traveling, but my Switch 2 got a bit of a workout, mostly playing Donkey Kong. And I'm excited to play Hollow Knight Silksong on it. But part of me was like, well, I'm a Game Pass subscriber, and I could just get it as part of that subscription on Game Pass, but I kind of want to play this handheld. Like, this is the kind of game that I want to play on the go.
Yeah, it's really annoying now, isn't it?
And so it's like, do I get one of these Xbox handhelds? Or, like, it would just be great if I could, like, have Game Pass on my Switch. It's really kind of at that point now, I think. So I reckon PlayStation are probably paying careful attention to that and maybe feel a little bit behind the eight ball on it. I think no doubt the success of the PlayStation Portal has kind of maybe reinvigorated them in terms of supporting the handheld market. Maybe they were kind of dipping their toes into it with the Portal, seeing how that performed. And it's clearly surprised them in terms of its interest. So, yeah, I hope this is true. I'm eager to see it.
It's probably going to come down to, like, whether they think it's worth it. It strikes me as a bit confusing for them to drop, like, a PS6 home console and a PS6 portable that can also dock to a TV at launch at the same time. For me, that does feel a little bit murky in terms of, like, your everyday consumer. But
do you reckon there's any chance they do what the Switch does and they do a hybrid sort of thing?
Well, the rumor is one will be a hybrid, although, like, less powerful, and then you'll have your home console. So, like, you will be able to dock the portable, but not...
Well, why not just have one SKU and, like, have the dock upscale everything?
I think because they've gone too far down the path of, like, The Last of Us Part 3 will want to look better, right? Like, and you're just not going to have that level of fidelity on a handheld, even when docked. Yeah. Like, you are going to have limitations. So, or but I think like this is a way to keep costs twice low
for hardware in the handheld unit and in the docking station. It's, something becomes very expensive. Yeah,
I mean,
as well, just have it separate.
I think that's fine as long as everything syncs up. Like, you're obviously not gonna have to pay for games twice as long as the save system is like flawless, like it is with Xbox and Steam. Like, I think people will be happy to do that for the reason you just said, Ewan. Like, you will want your real, or you'll have a PC, and then, but I think they need to get that right and have stuff syncing properly, even like from PC to PlayStation as well. But they're not going to want that, I don't think.
Yeah. Truthfully, it would leave me in a tricky spot, though, as to what I would do with, like, the next generation, because I'd be excited about a PlayStation Portable, but I wouldn't want that to be my home console, I don't think. And, like, would they really expect people to be in a position where they buy the PlayStation 6, like, console and the portable?
I mean, like, it's meant to play, like, based on what we know about the specs, it's meant to play games as good as the base PS5 does now, which, like, 90% of people would be happy with, right? Like, not many people have upgraded to a PS5 Pro. So I feel like we're at a point where that would just be acceptable for most people.
Yeah.
And then, like, upscaling is only going to get better in the next 2 years again. So it's just, like, I think that's banking on what's going to happen. Like, and you have to be future-proofing and, like, making this stuff now.
Yeah. Maybe I would get the portable initially, and then, like, when I'm feeling there's a significant
Could they do some expansion or something? Could you get, like, a little GPU attachment?
Yeah, well, that's what Brody's suggesting, but then it's... Yeah.
Do you think...
That's murky.
Do you think having a generation behind effectively handheld attached to this thing and to be developed for, do you think it could create like an Xbox Series X and S situation next generation?
Or like a Wii U situation. Yeah, I think
we're just living that now. Like, there's so many devices with like decent enough kind of install rates,
but to like your point, like about that, like, The Last of Us Part 3, you know, it will be a technical showpiece, like to run that on the last generation hardware, effectively. Yeah. How's that going to
work? Probably
not
developing Heretic, what's it called? The Heretic Prophet, thank you. They're probably not developing that at the moment with, like, a portable spec in mind. Unless they are developing it for PS5, and therefore the 6 portable would be fine. But yeah, like, I guess what I'm saying is there's big developers out there that are trying to accommodate for the power of a Switch and Switch 2 and handheld gaming PCs, and they're just trying to tick all the boxes, where for the most part PlayStation first party studios aren't doing that. They just have
the PS5 push the envelope
hardware.
So the last part of this, which I don't think we've spoken on the podcast, is that in the latest beta update for PlayStation, there's a new low power mode, which people think is like allowing developers to test for like a low powered PS5 mode that is like for a handheld, like testing it for a handheld that would obviously be lower powered.
Interesting.
Than what the current Gears is actually, I think, the first game to use it. Like, it has a low power PS5 mode that you can toggle on and get like 30 FPS or something, or 60 FPS. And like, people think that that is them now testing. Like, so developers are creating games that would run with a lower wattage for a handheld. So it's very interesting.
I thought they tried to like explain that way as being like more kind of environmentally friendly.
But, they are right. But like,
You think it's a bit of a ruse.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
I mean, it is. It would be that. But they go together. Like, essentially.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Watch this space. I'm so curious to see how this all plays out.
I can't believe it's been 5 years since the PS5, so we really are like into this territory now of like PS6 watch again.
It doesn't feel it's been 5 years. That's wild. By then. Like, COVID was 5 years ago.
I know.
Yeah, it's flown by. I'm just going to say, I'm very glad I don't work in retail anymore and have to like explain all of this shit to a customer coming in at Christmas time.
Apparently, the PS5 Slim is going from 1 terabyte to 800 gigabytes again.
825, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is just, it's very confusing.
Which, like, to avoid further increases in the cost of the console, right?
Yeah, but let's just start removing stuff.
Yeah. Start by removing some tariffs, huh? Do we want to talk about some video game movie news, or are you ready for the wiki?
What's the news?
How are we doing for time? How long is this? A Call of Duty movie from Paramount?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll bite?
let's fan cast it.
A Call of Duty movie has been announced in a deal between Activision and Paramount. The Paramount CEO stated he was, quite a lifelong fan of Call of Duty, and it was truly a dream come true, an honor and a responsibility that we don't take lightly, to be producing the movie. You just mentioned fan cast. Brody, who would you like to see direct and or star in the movie?
Well, it's a great question. Again, I'm sort of swayed because I heard them talk about this on Kind of Funny the other morning, and they were like,
"You mentioned Alex Garland," and I was like, "That'd be sick."
But yeah, Alex Garland, obviously, or like, you know, Christopher McQuarrie, who's done the Mission Impossibles. So I think they were kicking around Michael Bay, which obviously
would be a bad idea.
Michael Bay does what he does. Serviceable schlocky action, and that's all this would have to
be. Serviceable is a stretch.
No one needs to take Call of Duty too seriously. It stopped doing that itself years ago. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't see any reason why you couldn't get, like, the voice cast, especially from the recent Modern Warfare reboots. Like, those guys and girls are, like, obviously actual actors. Not that video game actors aren't actors, but, like, I mean, they're screen actors is my point.
Do you have a preference of like storyline? Would you want to go straight to Black Ops, or would you want to see?
I think they'd have to start with Modern Warfare. I think.
I just don't know if they'd have to start. Like, everyone's kind of making that assumption. I feel like Black Ops would be a really cool place to start, and it's Black like Ops,
you just yeah, but you're starting from a you're starting from a
story, isn't it?
You're starting from a crazy fucking place, though. You'd never be able to go back to Modern Warfare from that, because everyone'd be like, "Well, this is boring."
Fair.
I feel like Black Ops is an escalation point.
And it's Modern Warfare is probably just like a quintessential sort of Call of Duty storyline. Yeah. Well.
That said, I think they could easily mash the stories of the first three, like Modern Warfare's, into a movie. I think
into one movie. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Like, even if it's 2.5 hours, I think you can condense that down. So
yeah. Spoilers: would I cry over Ghost's death all over again? Probably.
Oh, I've forgotten about that. What about Soap McTavish?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember how that scene all shakes down. You're betrayed, aren't you? Who is it betrays you?
Shepard.
As
Ghost.
Yeah.
And Hans Zimmer's score fucking kicks in. It's perfect. such a scene.
Relive that.
After the estate chase. So good.
Yes.
How do you feel about Ghost's death in Modern Warfare 2, Shannon? Spoilers for a 18-year-old game.
The sooner we move on, the better. Speaking, I am shocked this hasn't happened earlier. Like, how is this?
It
not
seems
happened?
Like such True. A no-brainer, doesn't
For
it?
An IP that prints money.
Yeah.
I just hope they don't, I'm trying to think what the equivalent would be. Maybe the Minecraft movie and just get, like, really kind of like.
Like, actually put Nicki Minaj in it and Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they lean into the more arcadey side of it and, like, I don't know, make reference to weapon skins and all of that. I'd be a bit, just annoyed. Focus on the campaign.
I don't think they'll do that, because I think that will...
That'd cheapen everything.
Yeah, I think it'll cheapen. Yeah.
They're talking about it...
Make a mockery of the game.
They're talking about it in a very prestige kind of way. So I think they're taking it seriously. So I think, look, it'll have its set pieces. I would liken it to something like, it'll be like a Top Gun Maverick or something like that. Mm. Like something that's fun, but, is still good filmmaking.
Yeah. I wonder how much of, the no Russian scene would...
put the whole thing in there.
Yeah.
Let's get some controversy.
We can probably stomach that in a movie, can't we? Controversial at the time, though. Okay, one other quick video game news story. Maybe Mortal Kombat 2 delayed. I don't know how much there is really to say about this, but it's now coming out May 15th next year, after initially slated for October.
That's weird. It was so close.
Seemingly in response to a pretty crowded release window. Yeah, it was only it was due in a few weeks.
Yeah, you get the impression this movie's ready to go. It's in the can. They're just giving it a bit of breathing room, hopefully. So they're putting it a week out before GDA comes out. Not that film and games unrelated, but
I think it makes sense. I'd like to see more movies do this, avoid kind of busy periods. Realistically, I get to the movie theaters once a month, maybe. So if you're releasing kind of 3 movies in a month that I want to go and see, I'm dropping too. So
I'm eager for it. The first one was fun.
Yeah.
Did you? I know it's not video game related necessarily, Ewan, but did you see that Man of Tomorrow has been announced for 2027?
This is the next Superman movie.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
2027 is so soon.
We have an understanding now, don't we? We have an understanding.
Yes. I love, we've talked around this story so many times.
No, we told it,
I think. We need to... Did we tell it on the podcast? Did you tell it while I was away?
I don't think it was on the podcast. I think it was after the podcast.
I thought
okay, so real quick. The story goes, Brody hits me up. he shoots me a DM. And he's
which
like,
I never do.
Which you never... It's rare. It's pretty rare. Like a private DM. We got our group chats, but private DM. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And he's... I'm going to not remember the exact message because this is where in the problem lies. But I interpreted
it's probably the last
thing
I sent you. I can probably tell you what it said.
Yeah. We've not spoken since. Do you want to read the message exactly as you wrote it?
If I can find it.
And then I can tell you how I read it.
Here we go. All right. June 28th. I said, didn't even say hello. I just come in. Not sure if you have plans Tuesday, but did you have any interest in seeing Superman? Shannon has passed his double pass on to me, and I have no friends. And you said, oh, I was keen to see 28 Years Later, but we could see Supes instead. Which cinema? I said, it says IMAX Melbourne, which is Rathdown Street. You said, hot. I said, 5:45 arrival, 6:30 film, you down? And you said, yep, M's in.
Which meant- I love that he didn't even want to see the movie. I don't think I knew that part.
No. I realized the conversation had gone on for so long before I brought in.
And then,
way, I'm going with my fiance.
So Ewan, not thinking that I could possibly be asking him to come with me to a movie, has just graciously taken... And think about tickets. This. Why would I be offering Shannon's double pass to you? Wouldn't I just say, Shannon, give him the double pass? Anyway.
The funny thing is, and like Brody asked me to ask you if you wanted to go, and I was like, you're a 30-something-year-old man. You can ask him yourself.
I just love, you didn't, you bless your soul, you did not correct me.
No, I let it go.
You doofus, I was asking you to come with me. You just let me and my
you should have just taken
together.
M. I feel like that would have been the good solution.
Yeah,
Right there,
so
my dreams
have
vanished. I was so excited for that premiere and my dreams were swept out from under me. But
I just missed the last part of the message.
And then you told me it was shit, which really broke my heart. You're like,
and I got
you
to
said
go
I
with
have
someone
no
else,
friends.
So
I
Brody just missed out.
So everyone went but me, so
yeah,
that's okay.
I just missed the last part of that message and just assumed... Shannon had passed your tickets to you already, and you could no longer go, so you were passing them on to me.
Nah, look,
that
that's okay.
That's
okay. We don't have much
beef
as a result.
We have a new Superman movie in 2 years' time. Looking forward to it.
Right,
it
all
in.
The wrong.
I just need to survive until then. I've got
something
all right,
well, after that, I have a rapid-fire question for you both. Kojima Productions is tipped to showcase more of its next project at a 10th anniversary event during TGS. My question to you two. Do you think we see more of A, OD, B, Pheasant, or C, something else entirely?
A.
Shannon?
Oh, sorry.
No, okay. It's rapid fire
I think both. I think both of them.
OD and Pheasant.
Something on. I don't know if like gameplay or anything, but like something.
I reckon we're just going to see more of OD. Or it'll be some like little OD announcement. Nothing major.
I feel like there's weird juju around OD since the Xbox stuff. So I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe. Side note, I finished Death Stranding last night.
Yeah, I thought you were close if you said you were like chapter 14 or 15. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I was getting close. What a game. Honestly, what a game.
I'm only on chapter like 5 or something.
I feel like I actually have a firmer grasp on the story than I'm giving myself credit for. That being said, I do want to do some like deep dive explainers that pick it all apart. You know what? I'm not going to say anymore. Brody, I'll let you finish it.
I need a power through so we can do that 7 month late spoiler cast.
Yeah.
Where does it sit on your...
Which basically just going to be James explaining the game to me.
Yeah. Where does it sit on your game of the year so far?
It's a good question. I was actually meant to review my list and have a think about that. I reckon it's top 5. Okay. Whether or not it's top 3...
I've forgotten what's come out this year already.
It might be top 3.
What else is up there? Like Clair Obscur? I don't even know what you've played. Clair Obscur? Is that up there?
Clair Obscur is number 2 on my list at the moment.
Blueprints?
Which, to be honest, this is very in flux. Because I really enjoyed June Awakening. And that's currently at the top of my list. But we've got Split Fiction in there as well. Elden Ring,
that's
going to
be a waste of votes.
Blueprints. June Awakening.
No one else has played that.
No one else is voting for that. It's so good. It's so good, guys. Anyhow. What the Wiki is the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with a round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. Last week, that was Brody, who will be in the hosting chair today. Quick recap of the scoring, though. I somehow managed to maintain my first place lead, despite being away for a few weeks, which I'm very grateful for.
Couldn't get a podcast done without you.
No, you did three. It was, you've only missed 1 week, really, in amongst that.
There you go. That could have been all the difference.
So I'm sitting in first place with 26 points. James and Brody are tied in second place on 23. So it's definitely tightened up. Shannon, you are in third on 16 points. I noticed you picked up a couple of points along the way. And Harry, who we're keeping on the list, mostly for Shannon's ego, has 4 points. I love that whole debate of James considering to remove him and then realizing it made your score look better. All right, Brody, is last week's winner, you were today's host. Take it away.
Now, this could be a slog. This could be a bit of a slog. I'm worried about this.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So there is
Ewan and Shannon, in fairness.
Yeah, there's like obviously a theme, and I'm concerned that...
Is it recency? Please be recency.
I might even just tell you... You know what? I'm going to do something unprecedented here. I'm going to tell you the theme.
Oh, wow, okay. I don't think James is going to like this.
I don't care. He's not here.
He's not here.
And at the end of the day, I think you guys are probably going to need the help, especially how I heard Shannon talking earlier about certain things. So, in light of today's state of play, these are all James Bond games.
Okay. James Bond games.
With specific titles.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. God, so that's why one. I feel like I need to give you that preface.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with this one, which is one of my personal favorites, a little underrated game. I might have reviewed it for another site way back in the day. All right. The game is a 2004 action-adventure game developed by EA Redwood Shores and published by EA for the PlayStation 2, GameCube, and Xbox. The game features a cast of voice actors including Pierce Brosnan, reprising his role as MI6 agent James Bond. You've also got Richard Keel, John Cleese, Judi Dench... as their characters, and Willem Dafoe's in it.
Big Will.
It is Big Dafoe. Is he a friend or is he Dafoe? It is considered a continuation of Die Another Day, featuring Brosnan and Cleese in their final performances as Bond and Q, respectively.
Just not going to have an answer for you.
I'm very...
Shannon. World...
Nah.
I think I played this one. This is the one with the jetpacks, isn't it?
Maybe, yeah. All I remember is like the last level is like this like really cool car chase on like ice, like on cracking ice and stuff. It's rad.
So just to rule it out, it's not 007 GoldenEye, is it?
It's not GoldenEye.
No. Okay, good.
Goldfinger. No. Is that a movie, isn't it?
Does it start with 007?
The first part of the title is James Bond 007.
Okay. Is it James Bond 007? Did you say Die Another Day? It's based on that movie? So is it just Die Another Day?
It's a continuation of Die Another Day. As in, it's set canonically after it.
Ah.
But is not based on a movie.
Die Another Week.
Die Another 28 Weeks Later.
Die Another Day, Part 2.
I'm just going to have to start giving you a little bit. So, the subtitle, three words. One of which, in the middle, is or. I'll keep going.
All or nothing.
No. That's not correct. The gameplay is an action-adventure game with a mix of third-person, blah, 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 blah. Where can I... Shannon Elizabeth is in this game. Crazy.
Okay, Ride or Die.
It's not the title.
No. Ooh. You were closer the first time.
Oh.
Okay.
What'd you say? All or nothing.
All or everything.
No. You've replaced the wrong word.
Oh.
The game received generally positive reviews according to review aggregator Metacritic.
All or Die.
You've replaced the wrong word.
It's the all. The all we need to change. What word would it be? Or nothing.
Die for nothing.
I already told you or is the middle word.
Isn't die or nothing?
Die or nothing. That doesn't make any sense.
No, you sound like you said die for nothing.
It did sound like you said for nothing.
Or nothing.
What's the opposite?
What does he do?
What's the opposite of nothing?
Everything or nothing.
Oh, what? That's a terrible title. Die. Why would they not call it day. All or nothing?
I said
die. Everything or nothing.
Yeah.
That's atrocious.
So I think Shannon may have just sneakily grabbed that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think we did played that.
This will go down as one of the worst rounds of what the
Oh, yeah. We've discovered Shannon and I's blind spot. We know.
Yeah, holy shit. James would have swept, I reckon.
Because they're all such basic, dumb shit.
Okay.
I was never really much into the movie, so I was like, why am I going to play the games?
I don't think I've seen a single one.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Which should fill you with confidence going into this. Yeah.
The second game. The game is a 2001 first-person shooter video game developed by EA Redwood Shores and published by EA for, again, the PlayStation 2, GameCube, or Xbox. It originally began development as a PlayStation 2 and PC game based on the 1999 James Bond film The World Is Not Enough. However, the game was delayed and eventually reworked into blank, featuring an original Bond storyline. That is
Shannon.
Shannon.
007, Die Another Day.
No. Playing as Bond. Playing as Bond.
007 Goldfinger. I was trying to remember what Shannon mentioned earlier. Was he blanking?
It's not Goldfinger. Playing as Bond, the player must thwart an attempt to replace world leaders with clones. The game received mixed or average reviews.
Clones or nothing.
No.
Attack of the clones.
All right. All right. Let's take the same tact here. All right. So again, it's
a brain teaser.
Again,
it's
not James Bond 007.
It's James Bond 007.
Scratching that part out. It's just
three words again. Three words again.
Okay.
There's no ors. There's no does.
We're going to resort to charades.
Yeah, effectively. Yeah. Effectively. How can I sort of aid you here? So three words. I can give you like the first three letters of each word. Like first letter of each word.
Okay.
Okay.
I like
all right.
This.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you're listening to this and you've got this far.
Oh, it's painful.
Okay. So it's James Bond 007.
Yeah.
A-U-F.
A-U-F.
Wait. Is that the first letter of each word?
Correct, Shannon.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he had it. A-U-F.
James Bond 007. A-U-F.
A-U-F.
Is the F? No, I don't
think it was runner-up. It was runner-up for GameSpot's annual Most Disappointing Game Award among console games, but lost to Luigi's Mansion. Wow, must have been a decent year.
All is fine.
What does he start with?
Shannon has a loose grasp on the alphabet, let alone James Bond games.
He's on the floor.
He's out.
All right.
Is the F forever?
No.
Ah, fuck, okay. foe? Is it
no.
Foe? No.
I can assist you along to the first word, James if that Bond. Is going to make things happen.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Okay, what is
Wait,
James
first
Bond?
Word?
What is he?
Assault?
He's a secret...
Assassin?
No.
Agent. He's an agent.
You idiot.
Secret agent.
No. Take the secret out of it. I was just helping you get the A word.
No. I got it.
James Bond 007, agent UF.
Agent UF.
What's the U?
I get... No, it's A. Agent. United.
I think I need to put some... We need to put some... Agent when you edit this, Ewan, put some, like, thinking music in here.
We don't have that kind of money. Licensed music.
Is the third word four letters?
Agent.
Yes.
Yeah. The third four letters. The
no,
third word.
Yes.
That's the F word.
No. Well, it is...
Agent under fire. Agent under fire.
It is agent under fire. Well done, Shannon.
Damn it. Yeah, I'd have never got that.
That was brutal. But that was a sweep from Shannon.
That's a sweep from Shannon, which is really the best result that you and James could have asked for.
That is true. That is true. So at the end of the day, James, you are welcome. And me. I'm welcome as well.
Yeah. Okay. That, so Shannon, you bumped up to 19 points there, or only a 4-point gap between you and James and Brody now.
Now we've just learned you need to pick your audience with what the wiki. You need to pick your audience.
Yeah. I wish there was a way for you to, like, search our video game history and see if we've, like, played a
Seriously,
game before.
But if you're listening, try and procure yourself a copy of Everything or Nothing, because that game is solid. That's a good Bond
yeah,
game.
Yeah, I really liked it, if it's the one I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start Podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Brody.
Yes, thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
And taking home the points today in a clean sweep. He knows everything about James Bond.
I do.
The source of all 007 knowledge. It was Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Grixie. Don't ask me about any more James Bond games, though.
I'm just like also just thinking of Ratchet and Clank titles the whole time. It's like Full Frontal Assault. Nope, that's not. Doesn't make any sense. I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.